Hi, everybody. This is Vicki Ronchetti with Show Dog Prep School. I'm very excited that we are back with our Breeder of Influence interviews, and this is the first one of 2023. And I'm going to be talking to Trina Taylor of Noble Standard Manchester Terriers. So I always start out by saying how we met, and we met at dog shows. Trina
Yes.
is from Northern California and shows her dogs in Northern California and also is a professional handler. So that's how we met first, just at the dog show scene and then on Facebook and that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about her Manchester Terriers. There's one right there. We're going to talk about those. So, Trina, tell me about Noble and who is Noble Kennels?
So to say, I've always been obsessed with nobility, royalty, all things of that era and generation, kings, queens, duchesses. And
Nice.
so my foundation dog was actually named Toria, royalty in the making, because that's what it was. It's royalty in the making. And that's how I came up with my kennel name and my handling business name of Noble Kennels.
And you also have a boarding kennel and grooming salon, right? Okay, right.
Correct. So
And
I
it's
have
all
two boarding
noble.
kennels. Yes, I have a noble empire.
And so, did you grow up in a dog show family? Did you grow up handling and showing and raising dogs, or did you come about it on your own?
It's kind of a funny story, to be completely honest. And when I showed up at a dog show, I was in my mid-20s. And the reason for it was when I was in my 20s, I wanted a Doberman and I was living in apartments. I was moving around, so I couldn't really have the size. So I was watching a dog show on TV and I just happened to see one of these guys on a table, and I fell in love instantly. They were a good size because I had also looked at Min Pins. I'm like, a little too small, love the look, but I think that I might break it. So I wanted something more substantial and sturdy. And I found a breeder in Northern California and I drove out to meet her and I bought a pet with my now ex-boyfriend. So that's kind of in a nutshell, except for the story of how I ended up handling, which is,
Go ahead.
oh, so I broke up with that boyfriend at the time and he wanted to keep the female dog that we had. And I had become friends with the breeder, who's Corey Herbert Thorslund. You might remember her. It's been about 10 years since she's been around. She's retired since
What
now.
was the kennel?
She was Toria. She was
Oh, okay.
actually the assistant for Fred and Myrtle Clinch. So she was my mentor. But so in this predicament that came up, she told me, you know what? It's fine. Let him keep the girl. I'm going to give you the pick out of my litter. However, you're going to have to show it because it's going to be a show dog. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do I have to do? So she showed me how to show, and I kind of got whirlwinded into it. So I purchased my first Manchester probably in 2005, first show dog in 2007.
And
So,
so was that your foundation then? Does everything go back to that first bitch?
yeah, it was a not her. So my foundation is actually a dog.
Oh, okay.
So she ended up being a pet. We got her championship and she was put away. So she's now since deceased. I do still have my foundation dog. He'll be 16 next month, actually. He's roaming around here somewhere. But yeah, I haven't lost, like, since my ex kept the girl, I've never personally lost one of my dogs. He's going to be my first generation to go, and it's kind of heartbreaking, but it's part of being a breeder is you've got to get through it.
But that's a lot of longevity. How old do they generally live to?
Forever. So
Yeah.
a common age is 15. Stop. Sorry, they're getting nasty. My mentor, she had one lived to 18. So
Wow.
I've heard of them being 21, more on the toy side than the standards, though. I think the
Yeah.
longest I've heard for a standard is 19.
So tell me more about your foundation animals. So that male that you got from her was your sort of the beginning of
Yeah,
everything.
I'm looking for him. Hold on. They're all cranky. All right, so this is my foundation dog. Don't mind his ear. It's kind
Oh, I love an old frosted dog. He's not even that
Yes.
gray, huh?
No. He'll be 16 on the 8th of February, but he has produced multiple champions. He's produced my top winning dog, who is just on the bench. He's done phenomenal things for the breed. So this is Toria, royalty in the making. He was bred by Corey Herbert Thorslund and AJ Guthrie out of Texas. And I love him with my whole heart. He's given me everything and then some. But yes, this is my foundation. I'm working on my fifth generation now.
So did you buy a bitch to breed to him, or did somebody breed to him and then you were able to get something back?
Yes. So I got a bitch back from breeding. And like, since I've placed dogs, I've kept a few dogs. So right now I have two bitches and I have four dogs in my house. Don't ask me how, because I gravitate towards the boys. I love them in this breed.
Me
They are
too.
like, they're just the
I
most
love boy
genuine,
dogs.
loving. Yeah. And in Manchester's, the girls seem to be a little bit more aloof, cat-like. It's always on their terms.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of the program I have right now. I've got 2 6-month-old puppies, one of which is entered his first show this coming weekend. I'm kind of excited about.
Is that Sterling?
So I Sterling, I'm holding off on. He needs a little bit more time to mature, but it's his brother, McRae.
Okay.
So they're my Scottish whiskey.
So cute. I love the whiskey names. My husband was just telling me we're gonna have to do a whiskey litter at some
McRae.
point. How do they tend to do okay with other dogs, their own, that,
Yeah.
like, is it an issue to keep a bunch of boys or not typically?
Usually, no, you can't keep this many together. I've actually had other breeders ask me how I do it, and I don't have an honest answer. Other than I'm alpha, I'm not gonna lie, I've had my share of issues. Like, Riot every once in a while gets a little hair up his butt and he wants to take out his dad. But that's also a pack mentality. He's reaching the end of his life expectancy. Hey, like, they have their scraps and then they work it out and they move on with life. But they
Good.
cuddle together. Like, I have three boys that sleep in bed with me. Like, it's not common, but I have a good pack mentality. I pride myself on good temperaments. So I think that that's a large part of it, is the raising and the nurturing and culture of it.
And you keep your dogs are house dogs, obviously. And my dogs are house dogs too. And it's like, part of living at this house means you have to be okay that we all live in a big group together. So anybody who that doesn't work out for, I find them a situation that works better with their personality if this is just not a good thing for them.
Yes, and I've had that arise over the years. I actually, it was a very unfortunate situation. I had a female that I had co-owned with another breeder, and for some reason she did not get along with my pack, and I had to go back to the other breeder and say, "What would you like to do with her? She's not getting along with my pack. I can't keep her safely. It's not fair to her to be a kennel dog." So you have to do what's right for the dogs in their situations.
Absolutely. So, do you have a formula for your breeding program? I know that I was sort of, when I started learning and I had mentors, I was taught to do it a very specific way with Dachshunds, with line breeding and stuff. Then when I had the Laotians, it was very different because they were a rare breed. So, do you have a formula that you use for your breeding program?
By the way, you'll always be the Loughton lady to me. That's how I met you. I don't know if you remember the Loughton I used to show every once in a while. So I was taught a formula and I was given other ideas from other breeders. I can tell you that a lot of the breeders in Manchester's are very, very big on coefficiency and not on line breeding. I do like to line breed. My mentor always told me you breed the best of the best and you get the best. As long as you're not doing, repeated, like, brother to sister or father to daughter, like,
Super,
as long as
super
you're,
tight.
yeah, as long as you're not doing that and you're doing a nice tight line breeding, you're good. Like, if you do your health testing and make sure that you're breeding healthy, mentally stable dogs, you're going to get good dogs.
Right. So do you feel though, like you said, a lot of in Manchester's, there's a lot of like coefficiency breeding, which I mean, I'm sure people have been doing it for a long time, but to me, like that's something I hear more from either people in other countries where it's very, very, they have it in their database and everything. And then people who are newer coming into it, where I'm just like, I was taught to line to breed off pedigrees. I mean, I don't,
And that's how
so
I
how
was
do you do
taught as
that?
well. And a lot of like, there's women who have been in this a lot longer than I have that have taken the co-efficiency to a whole nother level. They have their breeding database and they can do their formulas. And I respect them. They're trying to do right to their beliefs and they're importing stuff. But I think that the co-efficiency thing has gotten a little out of hand because I think that when they run the numbers, they're throwing the baby out with the bath salt, bath water, not bath salt. Sorry.
Don't
I'm like,
throw
what am
your
I
bath
talking
salts
about?
either.
No. Apparently I'm dreaming of a bath. No, so you can't. Like you have to be able to use what you have, especially when you have such a breed that there's not much to choose from. Like you have to use what you have to use. And like we have von Willebrand's disease in Manchester's. So a lot of people
Oh,
are
okay.
very adamant, like you cannot breed a carrier to a clear. You have to breed a clear to a clear to a clear to a clear. But if you never use the dog that has the carrier gene, you're wasting those genetics. But like I could understand if it was affected. Like you don't breed a carrier to a carrier because you might get affected, but you can breed a
Right,
carrier
but
to a clear.
if you breed a carrier, because we have PRA in the miniature dachshunds, right? Rook's a
Yes.
carrier, so he can be bred to clear, and he's going to produce clears or carriers, but he's not going to produce affected.
Yes.
So, yeah, that seems odd to me that they wouldn't be used if they're, I agree, I wouldn't breed affected, and I wouldn't breed carrier to carrier, but.
So a lot of people can't look past that either. Like I truly believe that you need to look outside the lines and try to breed to things that are available. Like the coefficiency is just a number. As long as you're not inbreeding, I think.
Is it a rare breed? Like, would
Yes.
you consider it's pretty low number?
Very low. And unfortunately, also with it being a small breed, it's a small pool of owners and breeders as well. And I think most breeds have this, but we all don't play well together. So, like, one person will be like, no, you can't breed to my lines. Or, you know what? If you breed to my lines, you can't sell to that person. So it's unfortunate that it's gotten to that point as well.
That makes it really, really hard. What, tell me about the breed a little bit. I mean, I just know the ones that I've met, which is just a handful. Really, even
Well,
I mean, I taught classes for years and years and years, and I don't think I ever had one come through my classes, my regular basic classes.
you have some of the best representation in Northern California. It was always told to me that we have the best standards over here on our coast and the best toys for the most part over on the East Coast. I mean, Myrtle and Fred Clench were out here. Tammy Myers, who is mentored by them, she's out here carrying on their lines as well as me carrying on Corey's lines. I go back to that. They're the Salyer lines. Jerry Hart is out of Stockton. Like you've got some of these big reputable breeders that are out here on this coast. But I mean, what do you want to know? I could go on for days about Manchester's. They're a well-kept secret.
Well, I was just gonna say, what's, I mean, I think for me, even though I have dachshunds, I'm always sort of like, oh, yeah, I think terriers are, those are for big kids. Like, that's not for me. I'm like a little too sitting around and chilling out. But they do seem like a very, very good size and a very manageable, coat. And all the ones I've met were sweet. Like, so what's good about them? And what's the last question is, what do you love about the breed? So why don't you just tell me a little bit more about them, since they're kind of rare and people might not even know about them.
So they're not really terriers. Like, I mean, they're in the terrier group because they were bred to kill rats, which is the same mentality of most terriers. However, they're not wire coated. They're not hard coated. You don't have to worry about those type of things. There's somebody that used to make a joke that Manchester owners are usually middle-aged white women. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of true, but it's because that they make such great companions. And that sometimes that's what we need. Like we need that loving, like I'm gonna do anything for you mentality. Like they're truly adaptable. If you want to take a hike, they'll go with you on a hike. If you want to curl up on the couch and watch a movie, they're going to be right there spooning you. Like they just want
What's their biddability like, or their trainability?
they're extremely smart. So I've seen these guys get their mock titles repeatedly, and like they just the
But
adaptiveness, like
independent and free thinking, right?
yes, the girls especially, the boys are a little bit more like I want to please you and make you happy, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Speaking of that, this is my heart dog right here.
Is that
So
Riot?
yes.
I was going to ask you who some of your favorite noble Manchester Terriers are. I'm assuming he's one of them.
There's no hiding it. He's the favorite. So I used to say that Royal was my heart dog and that I would never have a dog like him. And then I've had my first litter and I got him and he stole the show. Like, he actually
Literally, he's won
literally,
multiple best in shows, right?
yes, he has got 8 best in shows. He's the second most winning Manchester in AKC history. But at about 4 weeks old,
Just sitting there next to you like everything's all
oh
normal.
yeah, he thinks
One of
he's
the biggest
human.
winners.
In fact, I don't know if you can see it in the background, but that's a painting of him with one of his best ribbons.
Oh, nice.
At about 4 weeks old, he was in the middle of the whelping box screaming bloody murder, and I just remember telling my friend that if I sold him, I'm going to get him back because he is a and then I fell in love with said dog. But he's phenomenal. He's extremely smart. You're talking about intelligence. He's got his trick dog intermediate. He's got his CGC. He's got his fast cat title. He knows how to open sliding glass doors.
He really likes
And
the
you know,
show,
he likes to be
right?
the center of, he loves it. It's been hard for me to slow down. He'll be 8 this year. And I'm hoping that he can start to retire a little bit and I can focus on the babies and maybe my next best in show winner, because it would be phenomenal to have, you know, 2 generations.
Yeah. Are the
But
babies, the young ones that you have, are they out of him?
no, they're out of his sister.
Oh, okay.
So unfortunately, everything I have is too close to breed to him. So I've been actually looking to purchase a standard female from another breeder. And I have them collected, and I would like to eventually be able to use that if it's not doesn't happen sometime soon, because let's be honest, he's going to be 8.
Right.
But no, I bred his sister to a dog that goes back to my lines indirectly, and I'm very impressed with the litter. I actually might repeat it in the future because I liked it so much.
But you're still looking for a girl to possibly bring back to him.
Yes, because both of my bitches are his sisters. So I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a real fun. I mean, I think that that can be really cool. It's like you always think when if you
Then,
have a bitch, you can go anywhere you want. You know what I mean? So you can with a male. You just have to find one to buy,
yes.
and then like hone in on that side of it. That's really exciting. Who are some of your favorite dogs outside of your kennel?
I have a list. So I mean, one of the most noteworthy and the first dogs that I ever noticed when I started showing was Tammy Meyer's dog, Medley War Hunt. It was shown by Janelle and he was just beautiful. He had a couple of best in shows and he made me fall in love with the breed more than I had already found. From years back, Jody and Gary Anderson, they were out of Southern California. Gary, rest in peace, passed away a couple years ago. Judy's still with us, but they had a beautiful dog named Oasis Hot Stuff. His name was Scooter, and he's behind a lot of my dogs and a lot of other Manchesters as well. They've also produced a beautiful bitch that was shown about 10 years ago, I think. Her name was Oasis Blue Lagoon, Blair. Beautiful bitch. And then I mentioned Jerry Hart earlier. She was Shalmar Kennels. She had some really lovely dogs. There was a dog and a bitch that I liked out of her lines a lot. The male was Shalmar Manchurian Hot Rock. His name was Trip. I actually tried to breed to him. However, my bitch didn't take. It was heartbreaking. But the bitch that she had out was Dandy Cherry Jubilee. And this was years ago. She was beautiful and she produced some beautiful dogs as well. Let's see, who else? Oh, the sire of my old man. So Royal's dad was called, his name was Bowie. He was nothing to look at. Like he got his championship. He was a nice pet dog, but he produced some of the most beautiful headpieces I have ever seen in this breed. Like whatever he was bred
Sometimes that's
to.
how it works.
Yeah, like it just these stunning. Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things I've had to learn because I was told breed to the best, and you'll get the best. But sometimes you get that one that produces much better than himself.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people. I mean, it's happened to me where, my first show dachshund female, she I never finished her. She wasn't, she had a lot of stuff that wasn't great, but I won winner's dog at our national, my first national I ever
Huh.
went to with her son. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of people will have dogs that they consider gold in the whelping box that
Yeah.
just never sort of really did, or the sister's a big time fabulous winner but can't produce anything, and then the not as flashy
Yeah.
litter mate is a fabulous producer. That kind of thing
It
happens a lot, I think.
is luck of the draw sometimes, but
Yeah.
I mean it, the dog that I used for this last litter, the puppy I just showed you, nobody's used him, and I think he was 7, so he's 6 or 7, so he's getting up there, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna try it, because generally speaking there's no glaring faults. He's solid on his legs, and the pedigree on paper, it looked phenomenal because it
Right.
lined right back up. And like I've had other breeders come up to me and say, I was wondering what the heck you were thinking when you did that breeding. And then I see these puppies and I'm like, yeah, because that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I know what my lines produce, so I knew I was going to get something
Right.
similar.
And you know how to, that's such an art, and it's something we do a lot in my mentor program. It's like I'm obsessed with looking at pedigrees. It has to be on paper. I like it on paper. I like to lay them out, because really it's like, and of course, sometimes something that looks good on paper doesn't actually turn out like you hoped it would.
Yep.
But a lot of the times it's like, it really does, like what happened with your litter, it worked.
I'm just sad I didn't need girls. They were all boys.
Well, that's why you're gonna repeat it,
Yeah.
right?
Well, I'm a, yeah. It, I might
So,
like go ahead.
no,
Sorry.
you go ahead. You go ahead.
No. I was just randomly, these dogs were barking and then I got distracted. Sorry.
So I noticed that a lot of people in dachshunds will, like, I started out with standards and now I have miniatures. They'll have standards and miniatures. You only have standards. You're like, have no interest in. So
No,
are they very, very different?
I did a litter of toys.
Oh, you
I
did?
yes. It they they're all I think they were 9 this year. So it was a while ago, but I did one litter of toys and I like them. I enjoyed showing them, but it's really like I found it hard to keep toys and standards together, especially when you have multiple, like they're big. If I have one
Right.
toy amidst 6 standards, that little toy is not going to have a fighting chance if they decide to lose their cool.
Right.
And I do try to keep mine as house dogs. I don't want them to live in a kennel, so that's why I chose to steer away from the toys, is because I really wanted to be able to keep them all together. I wouldn't be opposed in the future if my numbers go down to maybe look into it. I've talked to toy breeders on the East Coast and down in Florida over the years. I would love to get back in the toy ring, that's for sure. It's a
Yeah.
lot of fun to show in there.
Yeah.
Babies.
Do you think it's that the terrier ring, I mean, it's for sure one of the most challenging group rings, I would say. Do you think it's
Oh,
the hardest?
it's cutthroat. I would say in California, it's the toughest next to the hound group. Like those two groups, they're definitely cutthroat and very challenging. I can't believe that I achieved what I did. In 2018, it was just a phenomenal year, and I was up there competing with the big boys. And I hope that I can see that again in my lifetime. But I've had people joke around with me, it's just a Manchester. It's just a Manchester. Nobody cares about the Manchesters. I'm like, obviously, people do care about the Manchesters.
But I do, I mean, I feel like sometimes like ducks and people joke about that, you know, like here I am with a miniature smooth in the ring with an Afghan hound and a borzoi, and you know, it's like a saluki, these big, elegant, just a totally different animal altogether, you know what I mean? So I can imagine that, you know, there's not all the sort of sexy grooming and all that kind of stuff that there is in some of the other terriers that might make it challenging.
No. And then if you have a smooth dachshund, you know there's nothing to hide. It's
Yeah.
like this is what you get. You either love it or you hate it.
Right.
And I think that's actually what some judges find appealing. And you'll always find that judge that loves that breed. And I think that if you have the combination of a structurally correct dog with the temperament of wanting to be a show dog, that's what creates the magic and the presence in the ring. Because
Right.
I've seen smooth dachshunds win, and it's usually when they have that total package, like this thing.
Exactly. Well, I do, and I think it's like, you know, even I grade a lot of puppy litters, you know, all different breeds, and sometimes it's like it's hard to convince people, even though this one's not quite as flashy or not, you know, it's like that personality can go a long way when you can have a dog who's really flashy, and if he doesn't like it, it's really hard to like, I find it easier to rein him in or to just like allow a dog that might be a little less flashy in color or type or whatever, but really loves to show and has that showmanship. I think that can go a really, really long way.
I've definitely ha like I've had a bitch that's like I'm not gonna lie. I have a bitch that's better than him, but absolutely hates showing. And I got her championship and her grand championship on her by the time she was a year, but I haven't done anything else with her. Like, as a special, she can't even compete because she hates it. She absolutely hates it. And I've had the conversation with other breeders that sometimes you need to take not necessarily the most structurally sound, but maybe the one that's like, hey, hi, hello, it's me. Like, because when you have a breed that it's not flashy, you need the personality to be the flashy.
Do you think that in general they are like a pretty socially outgoing breed? Are they, do they
No.
tend to be sensitive? Are they sensitive in general?
They're aloof. Like, they're not aloof is a good term for the girls, but these guys have a bad reputation of being skittish. Like, they don't get the right socialization early on. They back off the table. Like, when I first got into it, not so much now, but like 15 years ago, like I would have people be like, hey, like, you know that they bite, right? I'm like, wait, what? So they had a really bad reputation. I think that the breeders as a whole have come around and they've done better, a hugely better job of socialization and temperament testing, and we've come leaps and bounds, but they don't have the strongest reputation of being outgoing. They are a one person dog for the most part. They pick their person. Sorry, text message. They pick their person, and obviously they're committed for life.
Yeah, that's really cool. I do find that, like, as I think that in this sport and in the whole breeding thing, you know, a lot is done just, it's all tradition, right? Like, everybody's training is just like most people don't have like a background in behavior. Everything just comes down from their breeder. And then everything, how you raise litters comes down from your breeder. But now it's like, my last two litters, I did Suzanne Clothier's Enriched Puppy Protocol. And it's a lot, you know, but I mean, I have pretty small litters, but it's like, it really can take them so much further and like puppy culture. And I think as people are learning more about that and learning like what we can do with early learning and an early enrichment and exposure and all that kind of stuff, like we can really take them much further than they would be if we just kind of hoped that it would happen on its own. But I
No,
think
you
that's a
definitely.
hard thing for older people to grasp sometimes.
It's
Change.
hard for, yes, it's very hard to do that. And it's one thing when I was raising my litters is socialization, socialization, socialization. I raise them in a kennel. That way they're exposed to different breeds, different people. I take them to Starbucks, Home Depot. As soon as I can, I take them to dog shows. Like, I'll take them to the local pub and sit at the bar and be like, here's my puppy. So mine tend to have different temperaments than most.
Yeah, that's really good though. So anything else you want to share?
Not that I can think of. I think we went over most of the stuff, except, I'm extremely thankful and grateful to the people who got me to where I'm at. It's hard not being born into the sport and kind of coming in as the underdog. And I think a lot of people frowned on me for that, for getting as far as I've gotten without doing the time, per se. But Corey Herbert-Thorslund, as my mentor, she did a phenomenal job, and she allowed me to carry on the salutaire lines that she was blessed with when Myrtle and Fred passed away. And I mean, if it weren't for her and AJ breeding Royal, I wouldn't be here. Like, I kind of got thrust into this world, and it's become a lifestyle, and I wouldn't change it for the world. So.
What is that? Is there, do you feel a lot of pressure having sort of taken over for some people that, maybe aren't here anymore?
I don't think it's pressure. I feel blessed to be doing it, and I just hope that I can continue, because it like my mentor Corey, she always told me it's lonely at the top. And when I started winning with Riot and I got the best in shows, I kind of got outcast. And I hope that people can see past that and see that I genuinely just want to bring representation to the breed. And I feel like anybody who's out there showing, whatever, like if they're in the group, you go and clap for them. They get a placement. That's
Absolutely.
fantastic for the breed because we're being recognized. And I want to continue to do that. Like, obviously, Riot's on his way out. He's older now, but I want to continue to represent this breed that I've fallen in love with and bring awareness to it because they are a well-kept secret. And if we don't further the knowledge and get more people into the sport, into the breed, they're going to go extinct. So
Right.
I just hope that we can get past different indifferences and work together and continue to love and represent.
Me
I don't know what he's doing.
He's
He's
doing his own thing. That's okay. He could do that.
loving me. That's what he's doing. Like, this is how the boys are. Like, they're just very affectionate and loving, and they're there for their people. And I feel that if more people knew how their temperaments were, that they would fall in love with them as well.
Well, people who are in Northern California can meet your guys if they come to any shows, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, rent to Manchester.
Yeah.
I don't travel with everybody, but I do travel with a few.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. Anybody who's watching and is interested, Trina is Noble Standard Manchester Terriers. You're on Facebook and you have a website for your boarding kennel, right?
I
What is
do.
that website?
Noble Kennels Inc. So NobleKennelsInc.com. And so
Great.
you can contact me through there or just Facebook page. It's me, Trina Taylor. You can send me a message. I'm an open book. So
We
I'm
need more
welcome to
open books
questions.
and dogs.
Yes. Not very many people believe in honesty anymore. What's up with that?
I know, I know. I've been going back and forth about needing to write a post or a article and being like, oh, I just can't yet, because yeah, I do think that we have an issue in transparency and
It gets
honesty.
me in trouble a lot because I lack the filter. I lack the filter big time, and I mean, I don't believe in lying. I don't believe in deceit. And sometimes I'm like, open mouth, insert foot. Shit. Sorry, language.
You're like, oopsie.
Yeah.
All
So,
right. Thank you so much. And
thanks.
you guys can watch this back on here. It'll also be on YouTube and on our podcast, The Confirmation Conversation. Thanks again so much, Trina, for being here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.